Say, this is Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa.
Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa.
Hi, this is Denise LaRosa, and you're listening to Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa, a podcast show created by a mom for moms. I do not take for granted that you have a lot on your plate, yet you are taking the time to listen to my show. I am truly grateful. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Pittsburgh Association for the Education of Young Children, a founding partner in the Pre-K for PA campaign. Pre-K for PA launched in January 2014 as a nonpartisan issue campaign with the goal to ensure that every 3- and 4-year-old in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania will have access to high-quality pre-kindergarten by 2018. Today, nearly 11,000 individuals, 550 organizations, and over 100 leadership council members have joined the campaign to ensure that investing in our children is the right choice and an urgent necessity. Join Pre-K for PA on its mission by visiting www.prekforpa.org today. Be sure to stay connected by visiting www.denisenlarosa.com, following me on Twitter at @DeniseNLaRosa, and liking my Facebook page, Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa. It is my hope that Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa will motivate, inspire, and inform you along your journey in motherhood. So let's dive in. A dedicated philanthropist and former nanny, Florence Ann Romano has always kept a special place in her heart for children. Born and raised just outside Chicago, Romano earned a degree in performance theater at Bradley University. She is the owner of Trinity LLC, a 100% woman-owned and new family company that runs the original Six Media production company and the online publication the630.com. Romano started caring for kids before she was a teenager, and she shares those experiences in her first book for children and their parents. Her book is Nanny and Me, and it is a family favorite in my household. A woman with a charitable spirit, Romano spends time working with nonprofit organizations. Inspired by her younger brother, whom is autistic, she is the founder and president of a junior board that supports awareness for children, adults, and families touched by autism. I recently had a simply delightful conversation with Florence about her children's book, Nanny and Me, and a wide range of topics from what parents should look for when hiring a nanny to mommy guilt and growing up with a sibling who lives with autism. Please take a listen.
I absolutely love Nanny and Me, and like I said off the record, my 2-year-old is in love with this book, and my mom just actually finished reading it to her. Yeah, and so tell me more about this fabulous book and what inspired you to write it. It's such a neat perspective.
Oh, gosh. I am so honored to do this interview with you. I really am, and I'm so happy to hear that you're such fans over there. That is just the best. The inspiration to write this book really came from my career as a nanny. I was a professional nanny for quite a bit, and before I really wanted to do anything else in my life, I wanted to be a children's book writer. And I always knew that I would know the time in my life to write a children's book. It would just kind of come through me organically. And a few years ago, I had that urge. I was like, you know what? It's time. I'm ready to write this book. And I knew, always knew, that I would write a book based on my experiences as a nanny. I started looking at the marketplace to see what was available out there specifically for children to teach them about having a nanny or a babysitter or a caretaker. And I was shocked to find that there was really nothing out there. There were a few books that focused on the parents about hiring a nanny or a babysitter or kind of what to do in those scenarios. But still, those were few and far between. And what I did find, I wasn't blown away with the content. And so I knew at that point that was exactly what my book should be. It was the story told from a child's perspective about being cared for by their parents to transitioning to being cared for by a nanny or a babysitter. I was so shocked that there was nothing that helped the child through this transition, because the child is the most important part of this equation. And that can be a scary transition for a child and a scary transition for the parents. And I really wanted to tell this story in a fun way, in a loving way, that showed parents and the children that someone else, a stranger, can be welcomed into their lives and be invested in their child's future, keep them safe and love them and care for them and provide them with these just glorious memories of fun and enjoyment and magic.
Wow. I love that. And it's so cool because you're absolutely right. There is really, I have never come across personally, a book that takes this neat perspective and really touches on something that is so common. This is like a really big deal, like the transition, like you were saying, it's a big deal for the parents, it's a big deal for the children, and even the nanny. So this is just really awesome that you have written this book. And I love how this book can be used as a tool for parents and children and even for nannies, you know, as far as transitioning into nanny care. So how can families make the best of a relationship that's a win for the child, a win for the parent, and a win for the nanny?
It's a great question. I think that that is the question on every parent's mind when they are about to hire a nanny or a babysitter for their family. And the rules that I kind of abided by when I was nannying is that the parents and the nannies have to be on the same page about everything. Right from the get-go, the parents, they have to sit down and they have to talk about the family rules, the family routine, discipline, tolerance, expectations. This needs to be agreed upon before any of the work begins. And the second thing, hiring a nanny needs to be a family decision. You have to remember that it's the family that's entering into this transition. And whether that's between a husband and a wife or between the parents and the children, everyone needs to interview with the nanny or the babysitter and make sure the energy is a good fit. And I always say, go right to those kids. Those children are the best judge of energy and instinctive feelings, and you really should let them help guide you, and they'll make that transition easier for you and for themselves if you care about their opinions. From the nanny's perspective, from the babysitter's perspective, the caretaker, it's important that they know they are part of the family and that they're respected. And of course, I always say that there is a professional demeanor that must always be maintained, but getting to know your nanny or your babysitter on a personal level is important because you need to know who that person is. You need to know what they're about and how they came to be the people that they are. And you need to have that same transparency with the nanny. They need to figure out who you are, learn who you are. And the level of this transparency, I always say, you can leave that definition up to each family. It's really up to you what you're most comfortable sharing. But mutual respect is the utmost important factor that I really stress, and that to remember that the children are going to take their cues from you as they do in life, as they watch you and you're their role models, and they're going to want to see how you're reacting to the situation. And you have to remember that everything you do, the child is the forefront of your mind. It's really what's best for the child.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as a parent and as a former educator, I love that you ended with that, because at the end of the day, if everybody has the child's best interest first and foremost, placed it within their heart, everything else seems to fall into place. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Aw. Cool. Well, what should parents expect when hiring a nanny? Because you did really cover so much. At the same time, though, what should parents expect, and maybe just as important, not expect?
Sure, absolutely. Well, parents, first and foremost, need to expect that the nanny or the babysitter is going to meet the needs of the family, whatever those needs might be. Every family is different. Every family is hiring this person for a specific reason. And not every position is going to be right for every nanny. And the flip side of that is not every nanny is going to be right for the job. It depends on the person you hire. They really are an extension of you. I always say that a nanny is the mom's and dad's eyes, ears, and heart. Beyond that, you want the nanny to be similar to you, the parent, in the areas that are most important to you. And you should certainly expect your nanny to be as candid as possible with you. It's not a typical job interview where you can't really ask so many different questions. This is the best job interview you're going to. This is the scariest job interview you're going to, because you're taking care of the most precious cargo in the entire world, these children, and they're the most priceless possessions in this family. So you must get to know your nanny and understand their background, their experience, the personality, their values, because your child, and I think parents forget this, your child is going to be influenced by this person. And you want to make sure that this person is influencing them in a positive way and think of them as a role model. And a message I have for parents all the time during this nanny hunt, and especially things not to do, like you mentioned, Denise, is your nanny does not replace your role as a parent. And I cannot stress that enough. This is not a person that just relieves you from that responsibility. Your nanny is there to carry out your values and your expectations and to care for your child, educate them, keep them safe, love them. But parenting still must happen in addition to the nanny or caretaker's influence. You are still the parent. Your nanny cannot replace you. And that's the unspoken contract you make when you have children, is that you're going to raise them. I think that there's a lot of things to consider when hiring a nanny or a babysitter to care for your children. My biggest message for those parents is don't let them replace you and your job that you're doing. Let this be a collaborative experience.
Yes. And that's something that really probably ebbs and flows, in the sense that, I don't know, like, I wasn't going to, this was kind of off the record, we hadn't planned on covering this, but
okay.
when you were talking, just to warn you, but when you were talking, it made me think about how, like, you see on TV shows, even like some cartoons, where like there's the jealousy takes place, where like the parent feels like, oh my gosh, like,
sure,
my child mm-hmm. is closer to the nanny than me, and in some cases, you know, the children are spending probably just as much, if not more, time with their nanny than they are with their own parents. And that's not
very
to,
true.
You know, mm-hmm. be like shame on the parent. You know, every family
right.
is different with the work schedule and all that. So mm-hmm. I don't know really where I'm going with this. If you want to cover that tip,
sure.
You know, like, what is your take on that?
It's a great question, and I'm happy to answer it and to help any family with this, because I know this guilt, I think, is what you're alluding to. I think the parents feel a lot of guilt when they have to hire a nanny to take care of their kids, and this is why this book really is twofold for me. I did write it from the child's perspective, because it's the child is the most important part of the equation for me, of course, but it's not just a children's book. I think parents can learn something from the book, too. The reason, not the whole reason, but a big reason this book was written at the time it was written, was I had my last nanny family that I was with, and I had just adored the little girl that I cared for. And I remember the first day, and this happens, this is something that happened in previous families as well, but for whatever reason, I think it was this moment that was the real catalyst for why it was time to write that book. And I remember the first day that the mom was leaving to go to work, the father had already left, and she was handing over her brand new baby. I mean, she was brand new. Mm-hmm. This thing was just a drop from the heavens. I mean, she's the cutest thing. And I remember looking at her face, the mom's face, and I saw this guilt, this just extreme guilt, but also this sparkle in her eye of excitement that she got to go off and provide for her family, and she got to go have adult conversation and do something that was meaningful in a different way in her life. It was that face that I knew echoed around the world. I knew that that face was something every mother or every parent could relate to. That guilt is real, and that's part of the conversation that I want to start across America and beyond, is that this is not something we have to hide. We don't have to keep this under wraps anymore about nanny care or child care in general. It's not just for the wealthy sector of like the Upper East Side of New York, which I think TV, you know, for the past how many years makes nannies, that's the only place it exists. Well, it's not. I mean, it does exist there naturally, but that's not the only place. There's nothing to be ashamed of for those nannies on the Upper East Side or the nannies, you know, anywhere else in the country. I really want parents to understand that this guilt is real. And this book, I hope, brings you peace, because you're going to see your child growing and experiencing life and being happy and being safe. And hopefully that gives you the peace of mind to know that you can go off and accomplish these things that you need to do or want to do. And if your child loves the nanny or the babysitter or the caretaker, as hard as that may be to swallow in the beginning, try to look at it and say, you know what? My job as a parent is to provide my child with as much love and protection as I possibly can in this world. And I'm doing that. I'm doing the right thing for my child. And I'm so happy that my child loves their caretaker, that they have wonderful adventures together every day, and that they get sad when they leave to go home. There's nothing wrong with that they're sad when their friend leaves, because that's someone that they have fun with and that makes them smile and loves them. But I guarantee you, when you, the parent, come home, your child is so happy to spend that time with you too. So just think of this experience as just another possibility to surround your child with endless, limitless, beautiful love. And if you can look at it that way, your child and you, the parent, are going to be so much better for that experience, just thinking that you have provided as much love as you can in this child's life. And you as the parent will always struggle probably with the idea that someone is spending so much time with you, with your child, and you wish you could spend that time. But make the time that you do spend with that child count. It's quality over quantity, as it always is in life in so many different arenas. So don't let that guilt eat away at you. Just think about it as a full loving experience, and your child is going to grow up and know that the parents love them and know that this nanny loves them, and that they grew up with the best of both worlds, and you're able to give that to them by choosing the right nanny.
Florence, you're amazing. That advice was amazing. I mean, I really like had a tear in my eye, you know, and I mean, I get a little sappy, I'm not going to lie. But I mean, it was just amazing. You just really hit the nail on the head, like in so many different ways. Like you just transitioned from the guilt to really embracing this situation. And at the end of the day, like you said, providing your child with opportunities to be surrounded by love, unconditional love and joy. That can come from you, the parent. It can come from the nanny caretaker or, you know, caregiver. It's just amazing, because I thought about my grandmother, because she was my caregiver growing up. So essentially she was my nanny, and some grandmas
right.
play that dual role. I know some grandmas right. are like, I just want to be grandma. But for my situation, she was my nanny essentially too. And it was so cool when I read your book, because it was like an adventure. I've even written about my grandmother, and it was so similar. Like, I felt like every day was an adventure with her, and it was exciting. And I, you know, may she rest in peace, I'm absolutely crazy about my grandma, but at the end of the day, I was excited when my mom came home. I mean, it was, there's enough love out there for everyone, essentially, you know?
Right.
So just
right.
embrace it. I love that.
Right.
So,
oh, I'm so glad you said that. I believe it. And I think it's an important point for children. And I tell them when I go visit schools and such, that a nanny can be anyone from someone that your parents bring into the house that they hire to play with you, or it could be your sister or your grandma, like you mentioned, that there are a lot of different words for nanny, and sometimes that's babysitter, or sometimes that's grandma. And you know, I go through kind of the different terminology when hiring this person in your life that's going to take care of your children. And that person has a different name in a lot of different families, but it's all the same person. It's all someone who is there to be the extension of the mom and dad's eyes, ears, and heart.
I have more with Florence, but first, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor. The Pittsburgh Association for the Education of Young Children, also known as PACEY, works to support high-quality care and education for young children from birth until age 9 across 10 counties in southwestern Pennsylvania. PACEY provides professional development, community resources, and advocacy for the needs and rights of our children, their families, and the individuals who work with them. PACEY works to educate parents, individuals working in the field, and other stakeholders about the best practices in early childhood education and to help improve the quality of services provided to the children of our region. PACEY also works to communicate the value of early childhood education so that as a community, we can make wise investments in the future of our children. In addition, PACEY elevates the status of professionals working in the field of early childhood education so that we can continue to attract and retain individuals who are highly skilled and committed to children and their optimal development. PACEY is a founding partner in the Pre-K for PA campaign. As a parent and former elementary school teacher, I truly value the work that PACEY is doing. To learn more, please visit www.paeyc.org today.
Oh, that's amazing. It's amazing, and it's so true. And so this might be a little bit redundant, but I'll ask anyway, in case there's something you want to add. What would be your top advice for nannies when starting with a nanny?
Sure. I always say that the nanny needs to fit into the life of the family and then vice versa. It has to be the right deal for everybody involved. And so my suggestion technically would be interviewing a couple of times before making a decision. You have a traditional interview first, and this is up to the family. I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it. This is what I've done and how I've enjoyed it. You have the traditional interview first, and then you go back and visit with the family again for a more casual day. I think it's really important that the parents see how the nanny or babysitter is interacting with the children. So make that possible. Make that second interview a day of fun where they can play with the kids and you can have lunch together. You can get to know the family. And also for the nanny and the babysitter, it's important that you're watching how the children and the parents interact. You're going to need to learn a lot from that. Now, yes, everybody's usually on their best behavior at these types of things. I understand. I do understand that. But the point of having a casual day like that is life happens. You're going to watch life happen with those children and with the parents and the interaction and the dynamics. And it's important to be a part of that. You will learn a lot from how the child reacts to their parents. And that's going to show you a style choice that the parents are making. So trust your instincts. If something doesn't feel right or serve you or the children in a positive way, then that's not the right place for you. And that's okay. Not every family is going to be the right place for you. And you can't take it personally if you're not hired by a family as well. Because remember, it's a personality thing. It's a style choice. And that's a wonderful choice that you have in this type of job. Whereas, you know, maybe there's more structure to traditional job interviews. But in a job interview like this, it really needs to be based on personality and technique and style and dynamics and feelings. And there's a lot of different components there. I really like to suggest that nannies think of themselves as a mentor to the children. And I always use this example, and not every family has this, but I think most will understand. I always looked at myself as a godmother. That was kind of the figure that I would take on. And a godparent is there to teach the child and love the child and be a role model for the child. And you as a nanny or a babysitter or caregiver, you are doing the same thing. You're really that role in the child's life. And you're going to have a part in shaping them to be who they're going to be. And you're going to influence them in their years down the road as they're choosing their careers and the love of their lives and all sorts of things, because you're a part of this very crucial moment where they're just molding into the people that they are. So you're agreeing to guide the children and teach them values, teach them how to participate in society, and you're teaching them how to love. You need to love them in their parents' absence so they never feel avoid. I really think that's important for a nanny or caretaker to know, is that you are there to help transition, like I keep saying, you're transitioning out of something and into something new, but make that a peaceful one, make that a loving one, make that one where the child looks back and says, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that they hired nanny so-and-so or babysitter so-and-so because I loved her. I loved him so much. And I just remember that being an awesome, fun, wonderful time in my life.
Oh, that's just great. It gives me goosebumps. And I thank you for sharing, you know, your experiences and giving this advice out. It's so important and it's so special. And I really wanted to end this interview, Florence, really talking mm-hmm. about you, the person, because you have a wonderful background and story. And being a nanny is a part of that story, but you also have some other things going on that's amazing. You're so giving, and your philanthropy, I've looked into that. You're so giving, you're so loving, and you do a lot of amazing work. And you do have a brother.
I'm blushing. Aww. My goodness.
Blush away, because you are just something else, and you're very humble. I knew you wouldn't bring this up, so I'm bringing this up, that you do a lot of wonderful things. And so I really wanted to talk about what has inspired you to really have a heart for so many wonderful causes, including the fact that your brother is autistic. And as a former mm-hmm. elementary school teacher, and also as a mother of so many mom friends who do have children who have autism, I am very curious about how that has inspired you with your philanthropy and life in general. And What advice would you have for siblings who have an autistic brother or sister?
Sure. Well, my brother, Michael, he is 28, and he was diagnosed with autism at 2. We are only 17 months apart, he and I, so we are super close in age, and growing up with him was, it was such a blessing, looking back on it. Of course, there's struggle, and every, family out there that has a special needs child will know that diagnosis or that moment when you realize that your lives are going to be different for the rest of your lives is a heavy moment. There are two choices. Either you accept it and you become a champion for that child, or you are unable to move past that moment, and that affects the child, and that affects the family. And I am really grateful that my family, took that diagnosis, and we said, okay, everything and anything we can do for Michael and give him the most beautiful and fulfilling life that he could possibly have, we will do. And I'm the oldest of 4, so naturally, leadership, I was ready to take on that role. But Michael really was my inspiration behind starting to be involved in different charities. And I always laugh and say, I went to private Catholic school my whole life, and so it was an expectation that you did service. And so I was always doing service. It was always a part of my life, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. They instilled that value so early on, probably from kindergarten on, that you should be giving back to your community. And not only did I do that at school, but then I had a reminder at home that you needed to be giving back and you needed to be making the world a better place or someone's world a better place. I think that's a more tangible focus sometimes, is that, you can't change the entire world. Maybe that's too broad, but you can be the world to somebody. You can change someone's world for the better. So growing up, I was always involved in different things, but then I started a young professionals organization, Giant Steps, which is located in Lisle, Illinois. It is the day school that my brother attends for autistic children and adults. He's actually a part of their adult program, which is called Canopy. He was one of the founding members, actually. And I wanted to start a junior board for young professionals that helped raise money with a different fundraising arm for them, because the message I really had for young professionals was, start giving back now before you've really made it in the world. Start understanding that this is a skill you really need to hone. It's an important part of life. I started this board, it was 4 years ago. I'm going into my 5th year now of being the president, and I'm actually in my final year as the president. It's been an amazing journey, but Michael was my real inspiration behind it. He has always been in that driving force in my heart to make the world a better place for autism and for the families that are affected by autism. I really wanted to make sure that these children and adults felt like they had champions out there. And that's what my junior board really does. They are champions for these children and adults and families that are affected by autism. And Michael was such an influence in my life that I wanted to somehow incorporate him into the book. And so when I was creating the characters, I wanted to create the little boy in the image of my brother. And Michael was born with this curly brown hair and this sweet, sweet disposition. And he was so chunky and adorable and had like 7 pacifiers in his mouth at once. And he was just the cutest thing. And he carried around a little stuffed orca whale with him when he was little. And he still carries that around with him to this day as a 28-year-old grown man. And in the book, I have the little boy carrying a stuffed orca whale everywhere he goes. So there's not many opportunities for me to be able to thank Michael for what he's done in my life. And he is lower on the autism scale of things. So he, he doesn't understand very much. He's not able to communicate verbally very well. But I did show him my book when I got a copy, and he looked at it and he saw my name on it and he was reading it. And that was a really cool experience for me, because I knew somewhere inside that beautiful heart and mind of his, he was proud of his sister. So it was a very cool, very cool experience. His influence has really driven me to give back to my community, and to be able to start this junior board has been such a blessing. It's really one of the most proud moments of my life.
That's incredible. Oh my goodness, so amazing. And I can just feel like I can't see you. We're on the phone, but I could just really visualize your face lighting up when you were talking about Michael. And it made my face light up too. And I just think a lot about what you're doing. It's so incredible. And like you said, being a voice for adults and children with autism is just so important, or with any type of special needs. And I just live by the motto, fair is not always equal, and equal is not always fair.
And, so true. Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. So really, I think even as parents, there's such a big takeaway from what you just were talking about with Michael and your childhood growing up and how you're serving that community is, you know, you really have to tailor to the needs of the child, because I have two little ones, and even as little as they are, oh my goodness, Lord, their needs are so different. Yes, for obvious reasons, the age difference, but their personalities, their little personalities are already like coming through and out in full bloom, I should say. They have big personalities, but I see already that they have different needs, and at different points throughout the day, throughout their lives, they're going to have different needs. And I think that's one of the biggest and the best things that we could teach our children, because as a teacher, I would always try to, because especially being in the primary grades, you know, everybody's like, well, that's not fair. Why does she get to do this? Or why does he get to do that? But, you know, it's a matter of us all feeling safe, feeling loved, and learning in that particular environment. And, you know, that's not going to always be the same for each child,
right?
Like how I get them to that point. So just thank you for sharing that. And I think as parents,
sure,
we can really take so much from that.
Well, I think, you know, I that's what I hope is that, you know, parents, whether or not it's a special needs child or a typical child, that you do need to approach every child in a custom-made way. You know, not every child is the same, and they require, like you said, different things in their life to help them get to that adult place where they're ready to go and take on the world. You know, growing up with Michael was, it taught me so much about myself. It taught me so much about compassion and tolerance. My advice for those siblings out there of, you know, that have special needs siblings as well, is do everything with laughter. That's what my family does.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is with laughter, because you know what? Some days it hurts like heck, and some days it's really hard and frustrating. But if you can make sure to find the humor and find the light and the laughter in these moments, then it's going to be an easier ride for you. So we laugh at so many things, and we make fun of each other and make fun of the situation. And I could go into a million stories about how we deal with, you know, with different things, but that's my best advice for siblings, to do everything with laughter. Remember to find the humor in it.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? Whether you are in a family where there is a child or an adult with special needs or not, isn't that the truth? Like, couldn't we all live life that way?
Yeah, it is so true. I mean, really, I think that, you know, you can take the work that you do seriously, but being a totally serious person all the time, where's the fun in that? There's no fun in that. You gotta have some fun in your life and some, you know, humor and, you know, the levity to it that is able to take you from one moment to the next. And I think that that's an important message for all the families out there, is that, you know, just remember that when you look back, you know, years down the road at, you know, what made your family what they are, you know, hopefully you're going to remember those happy times. So try to create as many of those as possible. And sometimes those are just the funniest darn moments in the entire world that you never thought would happen. It's just like a moment in the family, and you're there around the dinner table and something happens, and you'll remember that for years and years. Like, oh my gosh, that was one of the funniest conversations you've ever had. So do everything with laughter. I try to find the humor in everything, because I just think it's a happier way to live.
Congratulations to Gina for winning a family 4-pack of tickets to see a theater performance at the EQT Children's Theater Festival in Pittsburgh. I absolutely love hosting giveaways. To be the first to learn about and enter more giveaways, be sure to visit www.deniseinlarosa.com and sign up for my newsletter. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to stay in touch with me by visiting www.deniseinlarosa.com, where you can sign up for my newsletter, get some valuable mommy resources, and giveaways. You can also follow me on Twitter @DeniseInLaRosa, on Facebook, Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa, and or email me at denise@deniseandlarosa.com. You have been listening to Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa. I will leave you with this quote by Mary Ann Ratmatcher. Nurturing is not complex. It's simply being tuned in to the thing or person before you and offering small gestures toward what it needs at that time. Thank you for listening.